Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips from Trent Hoff down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we have a very interesting interview with local DNR fish biologist Max Walter, and then lastly, we have some fishing tips for you from Hayward Area Fishing Guide Steve Jensen. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Visit Hayward Power Sports Online Boat Show 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We carry London Tracker boats, Bennington and Sun Tracker pontoons, Sea-Doo personal watercraft, and all major outboards. Manufacturers have warned us that this year's supply will be limited, so we encourage you to check our selection out virtually, then come see us in person to get yours ordered today. After all, we don't want you to be left on the dock. Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or online at haywardpowersports.com.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu, and while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're down at Hayward Bait and Bottle talking to Trent Hoff down here. And Trent, a lot of people heading out. Now the crappies and bluegills are really getting up shallow as we're recording this. And it just seems like they come out of the woodwork to get on the lakes, it seems like.
Yeah, with this warmer weather, I mean, we're getting, every day we're getting more and more reports of crappie, bluegill, multiple species actually pushing in shallow, getting ready to make beds. And hopefully it'll be a good spawn this year.
Yeah, but, you know, and I've been spending time on the lakes too. And I'm seeing the guys that are more active going after the fish, they're moving and throwing bobbers and moving the bobbers, and rather than just sitting in one spot, they're the guys that are catching more crappies.
Yeah, it does seem to be that, like you just said, the guys that are in one spot are able to find them schools or at least those ones that have moved up shallow. It's easier to sight fish, you know, of course, from the shallower water. A good pair of polarized sunglasses can help you with that. But as you mentioned, yeah, sitting in one place, you can certainly just sit there and do pretty well. If you notice a bobber is spooking them, there's other techniques you can use. You can always fly fish. Some guys like the cane poles, then you don't have to have that bobber and slapping the surface and spooking those fish. And even a good lengthy ultralight rod or to a light rod, you know, anything, you know, that 8-6 range, that's also good to get you out there at a distance and not have to spook those fish.
I actually use a lot of 9-foot graphite crappie rods, and I can reach out there a long ways with that bobber rig, and I don't get the spooky.
Right. You know, it just seems to be that it's usually only when you have to make a lengthy cast and that water just kind of gets dispersed from the weight of that bobber. When they're real hungry, it doesn't seem to make a difference, but if that is what you're noticing out there, there are multiple techniques you can use to remedy that.
You know, and the one thing you mentioned about with polarized glasses, that's one of the things I do a lot. I'll get up the front of the boat with the trolling motor going on pretty high speed, and I'll just run the shorelines and just look and look and look, and I can see them. I'll see crappie there, crappie there, crappie. Oh, we got a whole pile of them here, you know. And also, the bluegills are up shallow, and I know the flowage, and I think this next week, we're going to have a lot of crappie, our bluegills up working too.
They should be. You know, we've already started to see them making their way into the shallow water. Haven't had too many reports of people actually getting them on beds yet, though. But by the time this airs, or by next week, you know, we ought to start to be seeing that more and more.
You know, I had reports from one person. They had like bluegills up shallow in the floats, and they had crappies up shallow with their backs out of the water. And that was that really hot day, too, so that'll do that, too. Water temperature is a real big deal. I mean, water temperature in the morning, I've been seeing where the crappies have not been real active in the morning. And as the day goes on and that water temperature breaks over 60, and this will probably change by the time we air this, but as that water temperature breaks over the low 60s, they start getting more and more active.
Oh, absolutely. And then we've also even noticed some bug hatches coming out. And so, you know, top water is definitely a way you can go about trying to get that warmer water bite. And like you mentioned, we are seeing some surface temp fluctuation. You know, in the mornings we've seen low 50s. By afternoons, of course, you know, it usually has been breaking 60 on certain bodies.
Depending on the lake, and by the time, like I said, this airs, we record a few days ahead of time, it's probably going to be even better yet. Talk about the walleye fishing. What are you hearing or seeing out there on the walleye fishing?
Well, it seems to be that it's a lot of mixed depths. You know, some guys are getting them mixed in with crappies. Other guys are finding them mixed in with smallmouth. So usually, you know, probably about that 6 to 12 foot range is where most guys have been getting into a few of them. We've even had some reports, a couple reports where there's been some abnormalities out a little deeper. But, you know, different fish will spawn at different times. They're not always all up there at one time. So that's not too uncommon.
You bet. And walleyes, they're way past spawn right now. But the big thing with them, I always say, is that, you know, find the warmest, nice weed bed you can find. And if it's a milfoil bed, that might even be better because there'll be fish around it.
Oh, absolutely. They love that vegetation, especially if you can find a good hard bottom to vegetation transition. Those should not be overlooked just yet either. You know, afternoon into the evening, you should still be able to get a fairly shallow bite. We've been seeing a lot of people doing well with not quite a walleye sucker minnow. It does seem to be downsizing a little is what people are getting more bites on. So, you know, you don't have to go real big just yet.
How about northern pike and bass? What are you hearing there?
You know, it seems a lot of small northern pike in shallow. Of course, you know, you're going to see some big predators in shallow as well, but it seems like the bigger ones have already moved back out into deeper water, and you're just going to get a lot of those little slimers mixed into the shallows, you know, getting on those spawned minnows and things of that nature. And of course, seems like they're hitting just about anything you're throwing out there, no matter what species you're fishing for.
And a lot of the bass, both largemouth and smallmouth, are up shallow right now.
Oh, absolutely. They're definitely starting to move in shallow, if not already been there, because we are seeing those water temperatures conducive for the bass spawn. And the top water has been very fun in the mornings lately, past few days. But of course, you know, a wacky worm or a Texas rig, that's always a good play. And, you know, just actually a multitude of different lures have been working for both largemouth and smallmouth. So you can kind of play around with your tackle box a little bit and just kind of see what's working best at that time of day.
You bet. And anybody's looking for gear and equipment, you guys have got a really good supply. On a year that a lot of people, a lot of shops don't have a lot of gear in and can't get stuff, you guys seem to be able to get it most of the time, and you got a lot of stuff.
We were fortunate this year. We do have good stock on our shelves, and we're actually getting musky lures in stock right now prior to the opener. And so, you know, if you're thinking about trying to get out there for that musky opener, we do have some new product in this year, and it's never too early to get prepared.
You bet. And you got a lot of information on the Hayward area here, too. So I want to thank you for taking the time to come on here.
You're welcome, John. Thank you.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we've got a very interesting interview with our local DNR fish biologist, Max Walter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and they've now expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. No matter what you're fishing for, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. And while you're there, in their bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. And also don't forget, now they carry Shoremaster docks, lifts, and accessories at Hayward Bait and Bottle.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Visit Hayward Power Sports online boat show 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We carry London Tracker boats, Bennington and Sun Tracker pontoons, Sea-Doo personal watercraft, and all major outboards. Manufacturers have warned us that this year's supply will be limited, so we encourage you to check our selection out virtually, then come see us in person to get yours ordered today. After all, we don't want you to be left on the dock. Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or online at haywardpowersports.com.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, one of the guys that we get on here quite often is our local Wisconsin DNR fish biologist, Max Walter. And on this week's show, we're talking to him about what they found out there doing some of their spring surveys. And this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on the Hayward Lakes area, go to their website at haywardlakes.com.
Well, we're talking to our local fisheries biologist for the Wisconsin DNR. Yeah, Max Walter. And Max, you guys been out there this spring, kind of for a change. You didn't get out much last year, but you've been out there this year, kind of looking around.
Yeah, we were eager and excited to get back out for our spring surveys. You know, this is when we're looking at most of the species people care about. So walleye, pike, muskie, crappie, and perch are all ones we cover with our netting, and then we're kind of about to start up the second portion of our spring work, which would cover bass and bluegill. But we're done with the netting part. We had a good season. You know, we were able to get to pretty much everywhere we wanted to get to. Started at the very end of March, kind of the last week in March. Walleye spawn really picked up first 2 weeks of April, and we were flying around. We were on all sorts of different lakes, and it was nice to be out there again and kind of checking in on all the different fisheries in the area.
Yeah, unlike a couple of years ago where you couldn't even get in because it was ice out there on opening day.
Yeah, whether it's ice or last year COVID, you know, there's lots of things that can be less than ideal in the spring. But this one really worked out pretty nicely. We had kind of a nice consistent warm up, and you know, we felt like everywhere we went, we were hitting the timing pretty good, and we were there when we needed to be there. You know, we had that wind, that crazy wind, right before Easter weekend. And that seemed to break the ice up pretty fast almost everywhere. So the ice was going out on big lakes and small lakes and everywhere at about the same time. And so that kind of opened things up for us to get out on the water wherever we needed to be.
Well, the big question a lot of people are going to wonder is, what did you find out on the walleye? So, I mean, we've looked at some issues with walleye reproduction and some of that stuff going on over the years because of basically, I think, climate change. We don't know for sure, but a lot of different things going on. What do you find out there?
Yeah, so, you know, there's really two kinds of walleye lakes in our area right now. There's the lakes that still have reproduction, and there's the lakes that don't have reproduction that we're relying on stocking. We were on a lot of the stocked lakes this year, so that would include some of the smaller ones down by Winter. We were on Whitefish Lake, which would be another stocked fishery. Those all looked fairly good. Stocked fisheries almost never have as high of an abundance of a reducing fishery, which is why we're really trying to get that natural reproduction back. But if you are going to stock, of course, you want to see some success from that. You want to see those fish surviving and showing up as adults, and that's what we were seeing. We'll have some good estimates of the total number of adults or like adults per acre on some of those stocked fisheries as we start to get into that data and working it up. But we were relatively pleased with some of these little stocked fisheries. We saw more than we thought we would, a good mix of sizes, different year classes contributing. So that was encouraging. When you're looking at more like the natural reproduction waters, a little bit more of a mixed bag there. So we were on the triple flowage. Adult abundance looked fairly good. We continued to see a good number of walleye in our nets. You know, the big thing there is people are catching a lot of shorts. They're wondering where the legal fish are. And, you know, there's some interesting stuff going on because we're seeing a fair number of legal fish in our netting survey, but that doesn't necessarily seem to be translating to what anglers are catching.
Well, I think what's going on there is they're just, you know, when they're catching a disproportionate number of fish under the 15-inch size limit, they kind of assume that there's not as many, you know, that most of the fish should be bigger. And I think that all has to do, in my opinion, more with just the harvest. I mean, it's going to get clipped off right at where the legal limit starts at, I think.
Yeah, there's some of that, for sure. And, you know, I think the other thing that may be going on is those larger fish are behaving differently than some of the smaller ones. You know, if you're a 15-inch walleye and you're hanging out on a really well-known rock bar, you're going to get caught pretty quick and you're not going to be around there very long. When we're out doing our stocking surveys this time of year, we're seeing a lot of fish, a lot of big walleye, deep in the weeds, basically at the places where we'd expect to be seeing largemouth bass. Shallower bays where the panfish are starting to stack up right now, and those big walleye are going in there looking to feed, which makes a lot of sense if you think about it, but it's not necessarily the place where people are looking to target walleye. So I guess a little tip that maybe somebody can try to put into action there and try to figure out how to pull some of these walleye out of these weed beds at this time of the year.
Well, Max, you know, one thing I've observed a long time ago, compared to two lakes, Teal and Lost Land, you got a weed lake, real heavy weed lake, shallow, and you got a deeper lake, and you catch more bigger walleyes in the weed lake, it seems like, and it's always been my kind of thinking that these fish are just unaccessible to most anglers because they get down buried in the weeds where they can live and grow to be a larger size, where the fish that are more exposed on break lines and rock bars and stuff will get caught before they can get that big.
Yeah, I think there could be something to that for sure. And then, yeah, you kind of alluded to this too, but, you know, it's like a matter of where you can have an effective presentation, right? So
right.
A rock bar wide open, you put something down there, the fish is going to notice it right away in dense weeds. So it's a lot harder to get them to notice whatever you're trying to put in front of their face.
Okay.
You know, there's some stuff going on, but that triple flowage walleye issue is one that we're going to continue to look at and kind of work with anglers on.
You bet. Well, you know, you got lots of milfoil out there and patches that they can get in, and you can't find them. I mean, I heard one pro angler one time kind of associated with, you know, you were going to go on vacation and you had a baseball laying out in your yard, and you knew exactly where it was. When you came back 2 weeks later, the grass grew up and over the top of the baseball. So where the heck did that baseball go to? You know, the same thing with fish. I think once they get out in those weeds, they get a lot harder to get and find. And then I think that just leads to survivability over long term.
Right, yeah. And maybe where there's available forage, too. You know, it's harder to get their attention if they're camped out in weeds under a school of bluegill where they can just open their mouth and snag one anytime they want. So, yeah, there's some interesting fishability type stuff there. But, you know, when you're just comparing our surveys 1 year to the next, we're seeing an increasing percentage that are in that legal size range on the triple flowage, that 15 to 20 inch range. And so we're going to, you know, be keeping an eye on whether that's translating to what anglers are catching or not as we go forward here. But we are still seeing good year classes come in. It looks like a bright future for that fishery. We've got a lot of walleye that are...
Well, that's an interesting one, too. You know, it sounds like our walleye fisheries are pretty good. In the stocked lakes, has that been mostly the stocked, the extended growth fish that have contributed to being a pretty decent fisheries?
Yeah, and, you know, like I mentioned, we're happy to see some of those stocked fish out there. There's not overwhelming numbers of them, but, you know, they're there. We're getting some survival. We're getting some contribution from those stockings. It's not the same on every lake, you know. Some lakes, the stocking survival is a lot higher. Some lakes, it's very low. So we're learning a lot about kind of where that stocking tool is working and where it's not. And that'll be useful information going forward, of course. We want to be stocking in places where it's most effective, especially if we get to the point where our stocking resources are a little bit more limited. So it's really been interesting, and we're going to continue to evaluate that stocking success over the next few years as a part of the walleye initiative. The stocking will keep happening, and then we're going to keep doing the surveys, and by the end of this, we're going to have a really, really big, nice data set that's going to tell us a lot about how to stock in the best possible way to get the most return.
Interesting. How about crappies? I mean, crappie fishing or panfish, that's probably just one of the, you know, most fished for fish, actually, even.
Yeah, we did get into some panfish surveys, mostly crappie. Definitely some interesting patterns showing up with, you know, where there's a reduced bag limit. And it seems like, you know, we're seeing evidence that having that lower bag limit at least preserves some element of quality, even on a lake that gets fished really heavily. And I would offer up Sisabagama as an example there. We spend a little time netting on this. That's a lake that gets hit really hard for crappies, especially in the winter. Really well-known spot. Lots of people out there doing it. You would think that, oh, it's going to get fished down. There's not going to be any big fish yet left. But, you know, I think just because of that 10 bag and because it's a pretty good lake for crappie habitat, there's still big crappies out there. Even with all that fishing pressure, we're still getting 10, 11, 12-inch crappies in our netting surveys after years and years of high harvest. And we're seeing that on other lakes, too, with the lower bag limits. So I think it's encouraging to see that those strategies work to kind of preserve that element of quality and prevent a fishery from getting, you know, truly over-harvested where there wouldn't be any big ones left. And I think we're seeing anglers becoming a lot more accepting of that type of regulation, too, as time has gone on here.
What did you see on the chip, or did you look for crappies there, too?
You know, we didn't have an explicit focus on crappies there, but we picked up a number during our walleye survey. You know, number and size still looks fairly similar to the last couple times we were out there. So I would say not a whole lot changing there. So if you're somebody who's concerned that crappie abundance has really been dropping, you know, we're seeing that, you know, they're still there. They're hanging in. Not a lot of evidence that they're increasing a lot. But size looked nice. You know, we got a lot of fish over 10, some over 11 inches. Nothing monstrous, but plenty of quality size fish out there.
And, you know, that's kind of interesting. I've had a lot of comments from different people that seem to think that in certain parts of the areas that they fish, the number of fish over, you know, 10, 11, 12 inches or up in that range anyhow are less out there than there were.
Yeah, and it could very well be patchy, where some areas are holding more fish than others. You know, I think we've talked several times in the past that the drawdowns changing, you know, weed patterns and things like that may be moving these fish around, and they're not always in the places where people have come to expect them to be. You know, when we scatter nets out across the flowage, which is how we do our surveys, we seem to be picking up crappies all over. Never huge concentrations early in the season. But, you know, that's another one. We just talked about some of these lower panfish bag limits. There was a Conservation Congress proposal that was supported that would reduce the panfish bag limit on the Chippewa flowage, likely starting next season in 2022. So that might help preserve some of the quality out there, spread those good fishing opportunities out throughout the year, and help protect some of the year classes as they start to come into the system.
Mm, interesting. Did you find anything on the muskies and the pike out there? Pike numbers down at all? Or?
Yeah, I'll only be able to speak to the pike. We didn't do a muskie survey on the Chippewa flowage this year. The pike numbers looked, it all looked very similar to the last time we were out there. A slight uptick in size, which is something we were hoping for. You know, we went from seeing, I think it was about 1 out of every 100 pike being over 28 inches in our survey, to now like 1 out of every 25. So, you know, that's not nothing. Average size ticked up just a little bit, but abundance still looked relatively similar, and plenty of small pike out there still. So I know they're running the pike improvement project through the resorts again this year, and, you know, we'd encourage people to continue to harvest those small pike and see if we can drive that size up a little more. We didn't quite hit our target last time. I wonder, you know, if we'd been able to get a little bit more harvest, if maybe we would have seen some more results. But we'll kind of keep an eye on that situation.
Yeah, in other words, people need to start keeping a few pike and eating a few out there yet.
Yeah, and they're great eating. You know, we've talked about this many times on the program, but, you know, the quality of pike fillets is right up there with any other species. So if you can learn how to fillet them and kind of start to incorporate them into your harvesting patterns, good for the lake, good for your frying pan or your freezer, and it's a great opportunity that's out there. You know, you mentioned muskies, and even though we didn't do muskies on the chip, we did do some muskie stuff on LCO, and we were working with our hatchery there, and we saw some really encouraging results. The last time our hatchery was out on LCO, they struggled to catch fish, and that's to get eggs for the hatchery to produce more fingerlings. This year they did quite well. They caught nearly 100 muskies out of LCO. range of sizes, from some really big females in the 50-inch range down to a lot of fish in the kind of like low 30s that are many of which are the stocked fish from 2017, so we're seeing good contribution there. So that's encouraging. We're not declaring victory yet, but we're seeing some really encouraging signs on LCO with the muskie population starting to rebound a little bit.
That's interesting. Very interesting. You got anything else that we can add to this that you found this spring?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, we ran all over. We did all sorts of, different surveys targeting different species. We'll be putting together some reports after we finish up the electrofishing portion, which will be starting right around now in mid-May. And then we'll try to get those reports out maybe in June, post them to the website, share them with lake associations, things like that. So people can see what we saw out there on the water, and we took lots of pictures and videos and stuff for future presentations and, the Sawyer County Fisheries Forum and stuff like that. So, yeah, we're just happy to have, a new look at what's going on with our fisheries and excited to share it with people.
Well, I appreciate it, Max, and I want to thank you again greatly for taking the time to get on here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, folks, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. And when we return, we'll have even more fishing tips for you. So stay tuned. Carlson Motorsports is Hayward's newest auto dealership. If you're looking for a used vehicle or automotive service, stop in. And they also carry the all-aluminum cargo trailers from Trophy and the unique Lake Lounger combination pontoon dock system. Carlson Motorsports is located just north of the intersection of Highway 63 and 77 on Windrose Lane. Give them a call today at 715-634-1347. Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales with a mechanic on duty Monday through Friday. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, as we wrap up the show for this week, we've got some great trolling tips for you from Hayward Area Fishing Guide Steve Jensen.
Steve, we talked about trolling as an option, but trolling for any kind of fish, even a northern pike, if you want the better sized pike, you're usually going to look a little bit deeper right now, and trolling is a good way to get to them.
Absolutely. Don, it's just another option. It's a great versatile way to get your baits deeper and keep them in that strike zone longer, especially when the fish are residing deeper. It just makes you a little bit more efficient and more effective. And it's a great tactic. It not only works for pike and muskies, but a lot of guys do well trolling for walleyes. There's several ways you can do that, either crankbaits or crawler harnesses. And I actually know some guys that are picking up a few crappie by trolling really small little crankbaits very, very slowly. You can catch all fish using that method. There's no secret there.
The interesting thing, too, though, is that we mentioned on other show, for muskies, generally we're trolling in the top 10, 12, maybe 15 feet of water, but pike are usually going maybe just a little bit deeper than that, and walleye sometimes a little deeper than that.
Absolutely, and that's a good gradation, but let the fish tell you. There's days where those, like we were mentioning before, some pike and walleye still up shallow, so if you're finding that situation, can certainly catch them that way, but that's a good gradation. Pike or the muskie are typically the shallowest, pike is slightly deeper, and the walleye is the deepest.
You think about more of where your lure is running and where it should be as far as the fish, rather than you don't need to run all the high-tech equipment.
Absolutely. The simplest form of trolling is throwing a couple up behind the boat and going. The reality is figuring out how far you should let those things back, and then learning boat control, knowing where you are and using your electronics to dictate that helps a lot.
Steve, you want to give out your guide information?
Yeah, if anybody wants to get out and do a little fishing, you can get a hold of me at 715-558-3709 or on my website at fishhunts.com.
Well, folks, you know, we're just about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you do miss a show, you can always go to our website at WNOradio.net. And from there, you can link through to our podcast. And the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And if you'd like more information on the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. I hope you enjoyed this week's show, and we're out of time for this week. We'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.